Sahana Vavatu Sahanao Bhunaktu Sahaviryankaravavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastomavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, this is page 41. Okay. As for the maintenance of his family, a grihastha, while earning what he requires for his living, must be very conscientious and must not undergo extraordinary endeavor simply to accumulate money and unnecessarily increase in material comforts. Although a grihastha should externally be very what's perceived that will be of value, and then there what's actually will be useful. Because there's so many things that would be nice if we had, but are they used? So what you always use, what you regularly use in the performance of your activities, that's what you have. But to have more things that would be nice if you had them, but they never get used, that's the extra stuff that we're talking about here. Is that, yes?
So what about that you want to leave something for your children, like,
But that's just part of the natural thing, that you're taking care.
This is not an extra endeavor.
No, that's just part of the thing. But you're still making only the same amount of work. So in other words, from what you make by your natural work, then you have to divide that up between what is saved and what you use. Right? Some may say, oh, there's nothing left for the children. But that means then you have to live with less.
Well, we have to live with less.
Yes, you live with less so that you can keep something more for them.
Oh, okay.
But the point is you have your regular work that you do. From that is then how you have to take care of everything. So then you have to divide. Does that make sense? So if you have more, then you know both parties get more. Or you only need this much, but there's more, so then they'll get more. But if there's less, then you divide it. Okay, well, keep something for them, and then for yourself, you have to do that. So, yeah. Because the idea is that if we work more than we need, that takes time out of our sadhana and our family time. Because the point is making money is for the family, but if you don't put effort into the family, then what's the real point? You know, the guy is off working so much, he's never at home, he's always, around making all the money and all that, and the family has, plenty of facility and all that. And then when they get upset and all that about it, his comment will be, but I'm doing it for you. But the point is doing it for them includes them as people and you as people. That's the whole point. So that's the meaning, that facility is less than interaction. So that's the whole point, is that facility is there for interaction. So when you have the facility, so your facility should match your interaction. It shouldn't be that to increase facility, there's less interaction. That's the whole. Does that make sense? Yeah. Although Grihastha should externally be very active in earning his livelihood, he should internally be situated as a fully self-realized person without attachment from material gains. Right? So that's actually the standard one wants to get to. So one's working, one's getting facility, but one's not attached to that facility. But it doesn't mean you don't perform your duty. You perform the duty, you get that facility. But it's not that that facility is what's important to you. It's the opportunity to use that in Krishna consciousness. That's what's important. Does that make sense? His dealings with family members or friends should be performed simply to fulfill their purpose. One should not be extravagantly engaged in this way. So how much is fulfills the purpose? Not beyond. Right? Does that make sense? But the point is, the sense their purpose is always expanding, you don't have to worry, it will always expand. But the point is that it's about, it's this is what's required, that's what one does. So it's not laziness, it's not that one's not attentive, because that's the point, is if Krishna is these things, then that's why you're attentive to them. That's the point. You understand the philosophy of that. Then one's attentive to those things. Does that make sense? Yeah. Instructions from family members and society should be accepted superficially, right? If they're not in line with Krishna consciousness. If they are, then they're accepted. But if they're not, then, you know, they'll always tell you something to do. But in essence, the grihastha should be engaged in occupational duties advised by the spiritual master and shastra. Right? That's what he should be doing. So the family members are giving other advice. You listen and nod your head and, oh yeah, no, that sounds interesting and great and all that. Then when they go away, you do what you are supposed to do. Yeah. That's where they get it from. Because that's the shastra. Because if you argue, then they'll just argue. You don't. Yes, yes, okay. And then do what you need to do.
That's very annoying.
then make these suggestions in line with, how you say? Sadhu and Shastra. then it'd be less annoying.
No, I mean to those who give their advice and you say yes, yes, and then you just follow whatever you do anyway.
The point is you're supposed to do it in such a way that they don't necessarily know.
Afterwards they do.
Yeah, but then it's also, is that should that be advised? But the point is that, because you can't satisfy anyway. Even if you did what they want, then it's not right. Specifically, you know, it's just like, okay, let us just even say they do what you say. And then they're doing what you say and doing exactly what you say. Now, after a while, it'll be annoying. You're only doing it because I said. Why aren't you doing it spontaneously? Because you know what I want. Yeah, that's the next one. So in other words, it's never going to be good. Yeah. Specifically, a grihastha should engage in agricultural activities to earn money. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 18:44, Krishi go rakshasya vanijyam, agriculture, cow protection, and trade are special duties of grihasthas.
It means that those grihasthas should be vaishyas by
nature,
by
bhakti. Yeah, because kshatriyas would do kshatriya stuff, but, you know, brahmins would do brahmin stuff. So basically, those who are, who's making money?
Vaishyas.
So then, you know, that's the ideal, is that agriculture, cow protection, and trade. So depending on how you're situated in this, then that's what you do.
Well, he speaks about grihasthas in general.
But you always start from somewhere, right? Means, in other words, you're going to... So others can... So, in other words, kshatriyas should give importance to these. Mm-hmm. Shudras would work in these areas, assist in these areas. And if you can get, if you can't, then you do other things. But like for a Brahmin, agriculture is not recommended. The cow protection, you know, is you know, they generally have a few, but not in a large scale. And trade's not recommended either. Like that. But trade is, actually for a Brahmin, trade's recommended before agriculture if he has to do something other than Brahminical duties. You know. Despite whatever those in the, what is it called? Social, economic development committee may think, then trade is actually more important for Brahmins. Like that.
Yes. You say a Brahmin shouldn't engage in agriculture, meaning in order to make profit or even for his own growth?
A little bit, but the point is that, yeah, it means a little bit that you're using, but the point is it's what was the Rita? Pramrita. Pramrita means that which causes many deaths. Mritya means that which causes death. It means going out begging, so they're going to insult you, so that's as good as death. So that's just yours. Pramrita means many deaths. So when you plow the field, all the bugs and this and that, worms, they all get killed. Like that. But for a Vaishya, that's their job, so there's not going to be a reaction. There's no sin. But because of the nature of it, Brahmins generally don't get involved in it. Not that they can't, but it wouldn't be your first choice.
Right.
Like that. But you want to grow some lettuce, you know, go ahead.
Now it's the season.
Yeah, it's now it's season anyway. Yeah. Okay, so in other words, all the duties that have to do with social things are going to be described through grihasthas. And in this case, describing grihasthas, then it'll be, in this case, through vaishyas. Like that. You know, because there you could say that, you know, the it's just like, let's say, Nanda Baba and them, they're farmers. I mean, they're Vaishyas, right? So their lifestyle and all that, you would say that's very much a Grihastha lifestyle. But let's say Krishna in Dwarka, he's a Grihastha, but how much flavor of the Kshatriya overshadows that? You know, or the Brahmin, how much that overshadows? Right? And you know, generally Shudras never get up to that standard. So you could say it's from that viewpoint then, Vaishyas as Grihasthas, you know, set the most example. They're making their money, they're taking care of guests, they're doing all the things that are there, but they don't have to worry about the state, they don't have to worry about so many other things. You know, they're independent. So it's you know, you could say it's the fullest form of it. Like that. Because the others are restricted by their nature. So yeah. So it doesn't mean that others don't, if they're having that nature, aren't following that. It just means that you can explain it to its broadest degree in the Vaishya category. Does that make sense? You know like the Vaishya's not going out and getting himself killed, right? Kshatriyas are, right? So that's not you'd say ideal for family life. You understand? Yeah. Like that. If by chance or by the grace of the Lord more money comes, it should be properly engaged for the Krishna consciousness movement. One should not be eager to earn more money simply for sensual pleasure. A grihastha should always remember that one who is endeavoring to accumulate more money than necessary is to be considered a thief and is punishable by the laws of nature. Right? Because if you're taking more than you require, that's why then some people have less than they require. So how much less is how much more they had. So someone's really poor means they really wasted a lot of money. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that's interesting. So all those guys in Ethiopia, they used to be extremely wealthy guys. A grihastha should be very affectionate towards lower animals, birds and bees, treating them exactly like his own children. A grihastha should not indulge in killing animals or birds for sense gratification. He should provide the necessities of life even to the dogs and the lowest creatures and should not exploit others for sense gratification. So in other words, going out bird hunting is not part of the process. Factually, according to the instructions of Srimad Bhagavatam, every grihastha is a great communist who provides the means of living for everyone. Whatever a grihastha may possess, so the communists apply to the others. They're not themselves living by communism, they're living by capitalism. But they're applying and taking care of others by communism. So, in other words, what's the sutra?
Providing for everybody according to his needs.
Yeah, according to his needs, according to his...
Oh.
Huh? It's a very standard Everyone according to their need, everyone according to their work, something like that, or nature. So like that. So birds, you don't give elephant food to birds. Right? You don't come out there with a big stick of sugar cane and put it out there for the birds. You know, and then for the elephant you bring all those funny little seeds and put it down there. You know, like that. So that's the whole point, is because it's according to their nature, then, and their need, that's then what you're going to give. So that meaning, he is the great communist, and that he is taking care of everybody. So in other words, the grihasta is the welfare state. So, because if the grihasta is the welfare state, the state itself doesn't need to be a welfare state. Right? Means extreme cases are very, then the state takes care. But it doesn't have to have these huge systems, because they're taking care of themselves. So grihasta is taking care of all the family members, it's even taking care of the animals and everything else. So that means, according to their ability, they're taking care of everybody. So in general, everybody's being taken care of. Now if there's cases outside of that that aren't being taken care of, that's where the government takes care of.
So if you take your time to train the citizens properly, then you...
Yes, then the whole point is then smaller government is all that's required. And then you can get the maximum effect out of your taxes and everything else like that. So that's the whole point, is that if you use it in this balanced system, it's already going on. Right? Yes?
So in a community, like for example, even our community, is it the responsibility of the grihasta to help like feed maybe the other devotees that have less money and clothe them?
Technically it should be. But
how would that work? Like, so would people be able to approach them? Or they should be intelligent enough to see who needs?
It should be that there's common values. So then you have community. And then from community, then everybody's involved. And then from that, you can see what's happening. That's how it should work. But if you don't have community, then naturally it won't work. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the whole point, is that these social elements then take care of itself.
So then like the health and the strength of the community welfare, like saying, the community welfare comes from a really strong, united grihasta.
Yes, means there must be leadership, there must be this and that, but in nowadays where everyone's equal, then that means if you're higher than them, you're brought down, and if you're lower, you're supposed to somehow or another come up. See, in other words, the guys in the middle will bring the top guys down, but they won't bring the bottom guys up. You can basically count on that as a formula. So in other words, the idea is you bring all the guys on the top down, that's to bring all the guys in the bottom up, because you're okay, because you're in the middle. But in history, I don't know. I mean, the only one I ever hear that ever did that was Robin Hood. You know? I mean, that's it. Is there another example? There may be, you know, here or there. You know? But basically, there isn't. You know, you see rich guys taking care of that, but you never see guys that are not rich taking care. Because it's steal from the rich, give to the poor, not steal from the rich and become rich. That's the more modern kind of method.
Steal from the rich and make them poor.
See, is that point is not the modern thing is equality. No one should be above you. So as you bring them down and you go up, at one point you're on the top, and so now everything's good. It's all equal. You don't worry about the bottom. So it's not a very complete system. So the Vedic system is you take care of everybody, you know, within your means. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's standard. Whatever a grihasta may possess, he should equally distribute to all living entities without discrimination. The best process is to distribute prasad, because then all those living entities will get benefited. Right? So if all that bird food you offer, then you know, then the birds will all get benefit. A grihasta should not be very much attached to his wife. He should engage even his own wife in serving a guest with all attention. Whatever money a grihasta accumulates is by the grace of God. He should spend in five activities, namely, worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, receiving Vaishnavas and saintly persons, distributing prasad to the general public and to all living entities, offering prasad to his forefathers, and also offering prasad to his own self. Right, so these are the pancha mahayagyas. So every grihastas is, what is it, what was the word used? Incumbent, I think Prabhupada used. And it's incumbent upon the grihastha to take care of these five. And if they don't, that's sinful. Not that, oh, we're devotees, we don't care. Prabhupada made the point, grihastas, take care of this. Yes?
Offering prasad to the poor fathers. Is this something that's really recommended for Vaishnavas?
Yeah, we do it. Why, you don't do it?
I must have missed something.
You must have missed something. You were at the bathroom when they made the announcement or something. Yeah. But for us, we only need to do it once because we're engaged in devotional service. But the point is it's taking care of those things. It's taken care of.
In devotional service.
Yeah. It means we offer prasad to the forefathers. It's not necessarily you have to do it on a regular basis. If the family tradition is there, they expect it as a regular basis, then you offer prasad. Like that. But if it's not, like if you're from an Antyuja background, you know, just how you say, just as an example, then offering even once, they would think is a little weird. But you know, but yes, these are all the things that you have to take care of. You owe something to all of these, like that. So if there's any directions the parents gave in that, you follow those instructions in that are valuable. Like I think it was Subhag Maharaj when he joined, because he's from a very aristocratic family. So then Prabhupada told him, he says, all the things your parents taught you, don't not stop doing them because now you're a devotee. You know, how to behave, how to interact, how to be cultured, how to be a gentleman, those all remain. So maybe we're not offering the pinda on a yearly basis, but we follow the instructions and things like that. If there's a value, if it's in line with Guru and Shastra, they've taught it, we should follow it. Because we've gotten benefit. So the point is we've gotten benefit from all these different personalities. So worshipping the Supreme Lord, that we generally do. Receiving Vaishnavas and saintly persons, some do more, some do less. Distributing prasad to the general public and all living entities, some involve more, a lot more or less. Offering prasad to the forefathers, some have done it, most haven't. And also offering prasad to one's own self, that they generally do, it's prasad, at least they feed themselves. But see, Prabhupada's put it into the form of what it would be in the devotional sense. Because we'll say, oh, these five, this is so encumbering. This is just this much, and we could do all that very simply. But if you get into the pancha mahayagyas, as Manu mentions it for the non-devotees, then the details are, you know, the details would be as big as this book. Literally. So he's just reduced it down to this, you know, how you say? This one sentence. Is that okay? So it just means that it's done, that it's been offered so that they get the benefit, and then after that it's not there. But the point is if you can't, you don't have the facility for that, just by chanting, if you continue as a devotee, they'll get the benefit anyway. Like that. But you can't say it's because I'm chanting, I don't have to take care of Vaishnavas or take prasad or distribute prasad. That's not so much good. Is that okay? Yeah? Yes.
Just connected. So we tend to do it every year, but like I didn't kind of pay much attention to it. And then also, I don't really know the process. So should I learn how it's done so I can continue?
If it's expected in the family, then you can. But the point is you're just offering prasad.
I don't know if there's some prayers and there's some.
That's not so important.
Okay.
But because for us, it's just. See, in other words, they're getting that putra means one who saves from put or hell. So by offering prasad, that's the actual thing. In the pinda, what you're doing is you're giving them. Is supposed to be that they're pious, so they've gone to Pitri Loka, and so by the yearly offering, that takes care of their maintenance for 1 year. So all the food they require, clothes and everything like that, they get for a year. So by giving the pindas like that, that's their food for a year. You know, giving the umbrella, giving the shoes, that's so when they, you know, go you know, like to the moon and all that. The walking, it's not hot and the sun's not on their head and stuff. Cause, see, it's like down here there's clouds. If you move out in space, there's no clouds. So the sun's quite bright. So that's why the umbrella. You know what I'm saying? So that's for that. But if one's chanting and all, so these things are there, but it's not that important because we're chanting. But the basic principle we'll see more when we get into the detail, isn't it? Is that if you're a devotee, it's taken care of. But what one should know is that what devotional service is taking care of. Because devotees will just say, oh, we chant, we don't care for the rules. Fine. But then so many things that someone will do, they'll say, oh, you can't do that. But if we don't care for the rules, what's the big deal? So what rules are we following, what not? And so, because it doesn't seem to be according to Shastra. It seems to be according to whatever myself and you know, whatever whoever I call as friends agree with. And that if you do that, then that's not following the rules. Because the point is, whoever says we're chanting, we don't follow the rules, they themselves will have a very strict set of rules of what you can do and what you can't do. Very strict. So that's the point. You either follow religion or you'll make up your own. There's no choice. It's not like you'll go on with nothing. You understand? So, even if we're just chanting, we don't worry about this, which basically we don't, then the point is, what we understand is we've gotten this benefit. But the point is who is the ultimate forefather? Is Krishna. So therefore, by worshipping Krishna, that then that's already taken care of Brahma, the Prajapatis, and then coming down to your particular Gotra, and so therefore then that takes care of them. But one should understand that. Not just say, oh, we don't follow the rules, because then the problem is we'll follow or not follow according to our convenience. Does that make sense? Yeah. But if you're in the house and they're expecting it to go on, then you know, they should be vegetarian, offer it to Krishna, and then you offer it to them. But no one should eat what's on the plate. Yeah, because that's forefather prasad. You want that, that goes out to the cows or put out in the field for the crows or like that. Yeah, don't eat that. Means if your forefather was Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then you eat it. But if he wasn't Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then you don't eat it.
So with these sort of aspects, we have to try and see if there is something in a shastra. But the thing is, like, you know, I may not have the understanding, or I guess I have to ask then, but there's certain rituals that you do, and then sometimes, you know, you kind of don't understand why you do them, and then...
That's why one inquires. Human life means to inquire.
But the parents don't know, also, and they don't.
Yes, so then you have to inquire where you can and find out. So, but the point is, if you don't know, chant Hare Krishna, it will work out. But that means you're chanting, not that you just say, oh, we chant Hare Krishna. Is the person chanting while he's saying that? Yeah, that's the whole point. Yeah. Okay. Yes. You need like a schedule or something. Whatever you can do, whenever is there. Point is here, grihasthas, they generally, there's space and land, especially if they're doing farming. So there's all kinds of animals there and stuff like that. So they feed them. And if there's opportunity for other things, then they're always, if there's hungry people, they feed them. Like that. You know, so if in your place there's not much opportunity, then don't worry about it. You live on the roof and you go out and say, is anybody hungry, and nobody comes, then go back inside and don't worry about it. You know, don't put out on Facebook, is anybody hungry? Just doing my duties, right? Hey. You could try it, see what kind of reaction you get. That would be fun. Yeah. You just put on there three times, you know, as three separate things. Anybody hungry? Anybody hungry? And then send the picture of the plate, right? Yeah.
And then everybody comes over.
As long as they don't come over, right? Yeah, as long as they just...
Somebody else's address.
Oh yeah, it's somebody else. Yeah.
Yes. So earlier you were saying, talking about a situation where somebody was really poor, maybe they had done something where they misused money or overcommitted. So if you become conscientious, is there a way to repent for some type of behavior like that?
Yes.
What's the
process? Chanting Hare Krishna.
Conscientious.
Chanting Hare Krishna. Yeah. Devotional service. That's the reformatory process.
For what?
Anything. Yeah, anything but picking your nose, right? You know. Yeah. Okay. Yes. So that's the whole point, is that you just in other words, by being not properly conscious of money or its usage, therefore then we don't have. We become conscious of how to properly use money and all that. Because what happened? When you don't have money, then at some point you become conscientious. In other words, when we accept the position, then we become conscientious, then we use it properly. You know, if we don't accept the position, then we just grumble about it and try to spend it as we like, and then we still don't have anything. But when we become conscientious, at that point, that's where we start getting, you know, having money.
So like while chanting Hare Krishna, we can like put those prayers and intentions.
Not so. It's about you want to become a pure devotee. It's not about how to get rid of poverty, because the real poverty is not having Krishna. Right? The lack of Krishna consciousness is the real poverty. You understand? So these material things are just side things. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. The grihastha should not eat anything not offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As is stated in the Bhagavad Gita 3.13, Yata shishtashina santo muchante sarva kil vishayi. The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins. Muchyante sarva kil vishayi. The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food that is first offered for sacrifice. The grihastha should also visit the holy places of pilgrimage mentioned in the Puranas. In this way, he should fully engage in worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead for the benefit of his family, his society, his country, and humanity at large. Right, so these things are already included within devotional service, but to put an emphasis on them, then there's a problem. Right, you're going to say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, it means, okay, why would we think it's not a problem? Because it's a good thing, right? You know, we do these things, it's a good thing. So if we overemphasize them, what's the problem? Okay, now let's say in cooking. Okay? Now, getting something, making it soft is the essential point of cooking, right? Why apply heat unless it softens it? Right? So now what happens if we overemphasize this application of heat? Yeah, it goes into mush, it burns, it's this and that. And then people complain, no, but this is the important part. Why are you complaining? You know? Or salt. Right? You understand? So that's the thing. Everything has its place. So in the devotional service, it's all taken care of by what's mentioned in these Pancha Mahayagyas. Right? So it's already included. So therefore, one is focusing on Krishna. Right? Because Krishna is all these aspects. Does that make sense? Yeah? Shlokanasharanam. Verses 1 to 26, the Grihastha Ashram. 27 to 42, the glories of the Dham, the Brahmanas, and the Vaishnavas. I thought I was going to say, the glories of Grihastha. Looking for it, right? Trying to get this.
They don't have that one.
No, they don't have that one. The forest of material enjoyment. They say, yeah, that one. Okay, the Grihastha Ashram. Okay.
Okay. That's a stupid.
Yeah. Okay. A Grihastha should perform his duty for the pleasure of the Lord without attachment for the result. Right? So that's the. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes in his commentary to verse 7.14.1, having described the three ashramas of renunciation, Narada explains in the 14th chapter the path of the householder engaged in worldly activity according to time and place. Can one attain liberation the result of the paths of renunciation by the path of enjoyment. The path of enjoyment leads to birth and death. The king asked Narada to begin describing the path of enjoyment for a person qualified as a householder after having spoken of brahmachari, vanaprastha, and sannyas life, all involved in renunciation. Right? So that means someone who's qualified. In other words, one, by nature, just by birth, one is born basically a grihastha. But then one qualifies oneself to become an actual grihastha. Just like you have someone's a Brahmin, then a real Brahmin is one who understands Brahman. Right? Then a really real Brahmin is one who's a Vaishnava, a devotee. Right? So that one is in the grihastha ashram, that environment, then yes, one's a grihastha. But then the whole idea is how to become an actual. That's why he says a person qualified as a householder. Because there's householders, and then there's those who are qualified as a householder. Why? Because they can get liberation by following the path of grihastha life. That's qualified. Otherwise, if you entangle yourself, not ideal. Is that? Maharaj Yudhishthira inquired from Narad Muni, "O my lord, O great sage, kindly explain how we are staying at home with." Kindly explain how we who are staying at home without knowledge of the goal of life may also easily attain liberation according to the instruction of the Vedas. Srila Prabhupada comments. In the previous chapters, the great sage Narada has explained how a brahmachari, a vanaprastha, and a sannyasi should act. He first explained the dealings of a brahmachari, vanaprastha, and sannyas because these three ashrams, or statuses of life, are extremely important for fulfillment of the goal of life. One should note that in the brahmachari ashram, vanaprastha ashram, and sannyas ashram, there is no scope for sex life, whereas sex is allowed in the grihastha life under regulations. Narad Muni, therefore, first described brahmachari, vanaprastha, and sannyas because he wanted to stress that sex is not at all necessary. Right? If three orders don't require it, that means it's not that important. So then grihastha life, then that's given as an allowance. So then we can understand this once involved in, may be involved in that, but that's not actually the importance. Does that make sense? That's why then it's given in that order, so that that's appreciated. Otherwise, the common default setting in the material world is sex is all in all. Right? So I think this material world is called Maitunya Agara. Huh? The shackles of sex life means the whole world, the whole 14 worlds are working on this. Well, say at least 13. You know, the Tapaloka is not so much on that. But at the same time, is there may be the subtle element of being respected for that they may have. But basically speaking, yes, because they'll be living as vanaprasthas, brahmacharis, sannyasis. So as far as technical goes, yes. So then that's not there. So yeah, 13 of the 14 planetary systems. Yeah. Okay. So then it's understood as that that's going to be a prominent thing. So then what do you have to do? You have to reduce this. Some may ask, why does this have to be reduced? Because the point is when we talk about sense gratification, then the aspect of sense gratification is most fully expressed when it comes in relationship to sex life. That's where it becomes the most prominent, because for that then so much is needed. Right? And then there's a lifestyle that goes with it that requires so much. So it means you have the brahmachari, they hardly have anything. Right? It means a good brahmachari basically should be able to pick up his stuff and walk off with it. If you can't pick up his stuff, then there's a problem. You know, unless that stuff is what he needs for a specific service or something. You know, like, you know, how you say, you know, he plays grand piano for the Sunday program every week, you know, so then, yeah, maybe he'll need a mover. But other than that, his personal stuff, you should be able to put it in a bag and walk off with it. That would be proper. Right? Vanaprastha, you know, might have a little bit more, depends how he's living. If he's with a wife, a little bit more. Without a wife, then basically, kind of like the brahmachari, and add in a few more things. Right? Sannyas, also same. Does that make sense? So, therefore, the volume of stuff that people have, why is that? Because there's sex life. Mm. That's really the reason. Because as long as there's an interest in sex life, there's an interest in all the other social and all these other things. As soon as that's not there, there's not so much interest. That's why the Vanaprastha lives on the edge of the village or edge of the forest. Because if you want to be involved in the all the scene, then you want to be closer. Does that make sense? You know, that's the point. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why then it's restricted, because then it restricts the whole endeavor for material benefit. That's the whole idea. So if it's just unlimited, then the point is if we go unlimited in the sex life, then it'll be unlimited in what you eat and unlimited in everything else. So everything just follows the other. Like that. Right. It's moving. Does that make sense? So that's why it's targeted. Because if you can control that and bring that into regulation, you can bring everything else into regulation. Does that make sense? That's why then it's made as a target. Because otherwise one could say, what's the big deal? But because along with that goes everything else. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Narad Muni therefore first described brahmacharya, vanaprastha, and sannyas because he wanted to stress that sex is not at all necessary, although one who absolutely requires it is allowed to enter the grihastha life or household life, which is also regulated by the shastras and guru. Yudhishthira Maharaj could understand all this. Therefore, as a grihastha, he presented himself as grihamudhadhi, one who is completely ignorant of the goal of life. A person who remains a householder in family life is certainly ignorant of life's goals. He is not very much advanced in intelligence. As soon as possible, one should give up his so-called comfortable life at home and prepare to undergo austerity or tapasya. Tapo divyam putraka, Srimad Bhagavatam 551. According to the instructions given by Rishabdev to his sons, we should not create a so-called comfortable situation, but must prepare to undergo austerity. This is how a human being should actually live to fulfill one's ultimate goal. Right? So you understand where one's trying to get, and then one acts according to his position. That's what it was saying before. What was the words used? It'll come up. But in other words, the place, the situation, and all that. So then you apply all that to oneself in whatever situation you're in. Start from there, understand your position, know what the goal is and the standard, and then, as you can, gradually move in that direction. That's the idea. Because each living entity is individually situated, therefore their situation in grihastha life will also be individual. Right? Therefore you find other living entities who have a similar kind of, you know, basic, at least socially interactable, common needs, and then that becomes your, you know, your friends and others who you interact with. Does that make sense? And then from there, you gradually move forward. So the Vedas don't have a problem that someone is where they're at. So when someone says, oh, but, you know, all these renunciates, they don't accept the grihasthas and this and that, my question is, do the grihasthas actually accept the grihasthas? Do they actually accept themselves? I have this much attachment for sense gratification. And in this particular form.
Should it be announced?
Huh?
Should it be announced?
No, but I'm just saying, no, it doesn't need to be announced. I mean, if you want to announce it, you know, get up there and go, hear ye. Yeah, no. No, I wouldn't. But the point is because others will just use it against you, so there's no advantage. So then the point is that, but you should know where you're at, because they're trying to present as though we're not attached, but one is. But that's the whole idea. Yudhishthira Maharaj is saying, I am attached. So how do I, in this attached position, how do I move forward in Krishna consciousness? That's the whole thing. If that's understood, if that's appreciated, then one actually can move forward. Because if you say, no, I'm in a higher position, like I've seen, had, you know, occasion to see where grihastha will present themselves as very advanced. And when it comes to temple program and these kind of things, they do quite well. They're quite focused, they're quite stable, steady, and quite exemplary. But then outside of that, in their own personal life, I haven't seen more attached grihasthas than you know, these individuals. And so anything that you deal with them on the, you know, your just general grihastha environment, you know, they're like grihasthas out of hell. It's just, it doesn't matter. You can't do anything right with them. You can't get anything done because whatever it has to be their way or nothing else is going to work. But at the same time, in their sadhana, they're fabulous. So what is it? They've accepted their position as devotees, and therefore they've committed to it very nicely. And on that side, they're getting really good results. But their position as grihasthas and how much attached, they are not recognizing at all. So if you point out that you're attached here, it's amazing what they come up with. It's just a nuclear holocaust. You know, it's just like, you know, no, we're not aware of this and that. It's just no self-realization in this area at all. So it's a problem. So that's why Krishna says, you know, that anything, or Rupa Goswami says, that whatever is not done according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra is a disturbance to society. Doesn't matter. So people say, oh no, but we're devotees, or, you know, everybody equal. Oh, whatever it is that they come up with, it's a disturbance to society. So therefore, that's why then we follow it. Yudhishthira Maharshi says, yes, I'm attached. And then, from that point, what kind of attack? Then he follows that. He doesn't go, well, you know, oh, I'm nothing, and this. He's a king. He's an emperor. So therefore, from his position as an emperor, as a grihastha, how can he move forward? That's his question. So that's the whole point, is what is our attachment, what is our position, how to recognize that, how to start from there and engage that in Krishna's service. That's what the Vedic culture is about. But since the goal is detachment from the material world, that's why there's an emphasis on the brahmacharya, vanaprastha, sannyas. But it's not that the volume of information that's there in the shastras generally is about grihastha life. But because people will get distracted by that and just think everything's hunky-dory, therefore then it has to be pointed out more. Does that make sense? Yes. Yes. Yes.
So, with these austerities, bring everyone to the same, like, self-realization if they just do this?
It depends on whether they're doing it with attachment or not. That's the crux. One goes through, one performs a duty without attachment, then everybody will get the same benefit. So, the brahmachari doing his duties without attachment, he'll gain liberation. The grihasthas doing their duties without attachment will gain liberation. So everybody will gain. So just as, you know, does that make sense? So everybody can get the same position. But the point is then you have to do it on that level and be consistent. Not that sometimes they do and then, you know, sometimes they kick back. Because it's just like the brahmachari, sometimes they're fired up and sometimes they're lazy. So we won't say that, oh, you know, that's okay. But if the grihastha is lazy, then we'll say, well, that's his right. But is it? The non-performance of duties, is that the right of, whose right is that? Right? That's the right of antyajas. Antyajas. The Shankara. You know, means us. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we have to be careful about.
How do I know I'm doing that? I'm not following my
There's other than super soul, there isn't anyone closer to yourself than yourself. So if you don't know, then no one else will know. But if other people are telling you you're doing things in an attached way, then look at it. Ask them, what's the symptoms? How do they understand that? How do they observe it? And then look at it in yourself and see if that gives rise to an understanding. What's your goal? What's your motive? That's the okay. Narad Muni replied, "My dear king, those who stay at home as householders must act to earn their livelihood. And instead of trying to enjoy the results of them work themselves, they should offer these results to Krishna, Vasudeva. How to satisfy Vasudeva in this life can be perfectly understood through the association of great devotees of the Lord." So, in other words, it's all being done to please the Lord. So how would the Lord want us to engage our money or the facilities that we have? That's the meaning of the time and place. It's not time and place means, oh, we're in America, so we do American stuff. Mm-hmm. It means time and place means, who are you? What is it that you have? What's your level of consciousness? So how do you see that in connection with Krishna? That's the meaning of it. Does that make sense? So then by association of the great devotees, that's how we'll understand. That's why we study Bhagavatam and the commentaries of the Acharyas. Because then that's how we'll see this. Otherwise, we tend to not see this. No? Yeah. Yeah, and somehow another, how you say? I don't know who's there today, but you know, how you say? Snoop Dogg and those guys, they don't necessarily have the recommended view of things. Strange, you know. Yeah.
But yet they have so much influence over the
Or, what is it, Lady Gaga or something. It's just, you know, it's just not quite the, you know. Yeah, so that's why it says then one should associate with the great devotees. Srila Prabhupada comments, "Whether one acts as a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasa, he must act only for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. This should be the principle of everyone's life." So that's the point. So it doesn't matter. So that's why it says, it means brahmachari, vanaprastha, sannyasa is your best, but those who require, absolutely require, they get married. Right? So most living entities absolutely require. So then that's the position. But the point is it's connected to Krishna. That's the idea. "The science of satisfying the Supreme Lord can be learned as described here. Sakshad Upasita Mahat Munin. The word Maha Munin refers to great saintly persons or devotees. Saintly persons are generally known as munis, or thoughtful philosophers, concerned with transcendental subject matters. And Maha Munin refers to those who have not only thoroughly studied the goal of life, but who all are actually engaged in satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. These persons are known as devotees. Unless one associates with devotees, one cannot learn the science of Vasudevarpanam, or dedicating one's life to Vasudeva, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, without association of devotees, even if we study the Shastras, we're not going to understand. That's why when we read, we're reading Prabhupada's works with his commentaries. That's how we understand. Otherwise, if we just got the original work with just the translation and that's it, we would not be able to make heads or tails out of it. Like that. That's the... Narad Muni continued, "A grihastha must associate again and again with saintly persons, and with great respect he must hear the nectar of the activities of the Supreme Lord and his incarnations, as these activities are described in Srimad Bhagavatam and other Puranas. Thus he should gradually become detached from his affection for his wife and children, exactly like a man awakening from a dream." Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, "Yatha kalam means at various times, such as the afternoon. Being surrounded by persons with controlled minds, he should constantly listen to topics of the Lord. This means he should not listen to other topics at that time. Right? So when we have time, then we should listen to these transcendental subject matters. That will benefit us. You know, so he said, like in the afternoon, you know, when it's, you don't have occupation, you don't have your sadhana, it's not your main, you know, so in between all these different things, that's when we work it in. Then from that, we become detached from the family environment. But as we saw before, because it's his duty, he's doing these things, and he's doing it nicely. Right? Krishna gives the example, is that he has no attachment for his 16,108 wives, but he reciprocates with them perfectly according to their mood and need. So that's the whole point, is that when you don't have attachment for them, there's nothing for you to gain from their association. Now, if you have nothing to gain from their association, that means in interaction, you only have taking care of them as your duty. Right? We take it that, oh, you don't have attachment, so therefore I don't spend any time. But that means you're attached to your own point. But if you don't have attachment, it means there's nothing for you to gain for yourself either. You understand the difference? So the Vedic indifference means that you don't have anything to gain either, so therefore there's nothing to do for yourself. Right? The Python sadhu, you know, he was indifferent. He was doing nothing. So if the person's indifferent to the family and doing so many things, oh, now I got me time, then that's not an unattached person. They're still attached, just they're irresponsible. Right? So the Vedic system is, you're detached, therefore, whatever time you're with them can all be about them. Because you have nothing to gain. So it reverses. That's the difference. And because it reverses, that's why it doesn't make sense. Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanand.